It is time for us to take a look at this week in the Lakeville Journal. As we said, Cynthia is not going to be with us this morning, but we do have Janet Manco on the line. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, you know, we had those torrential downpours last night, and the National Weather Service has finally issued a flash flood warning for Litchfield County, actually the entire top half of Connecticut. And we're going to have those type of tropical downpours basically right in through the weekend, off and on, all the time.
Is this going to be, is any of it related? What about Henri?
It's not going to be a washout, but it's going to be, we're going to have heavy rains at time off and on.
Right, but then the banging on about Henri, the storm.
That's part of it. That's part of it. That goes through Monday. Yeah, that goes through Monday. Yeah.
Well, you know, we need the rain. After all that rain we had earlier. Visiting cousin for a walk on the Appalachian Trail in Falls Village yesterday, and amazing how low the river it was as of yesterday, and here we are, what a difference a day makes. Flash flood warning.
What did they say about New England?
Yeah, right. Just wait a minute if you don't like the weather. That's right.
Well, seeing as you brought up the Appalachian Trail, one of the stories that is on the front page of the Lakeville Journal, the magic of making friends on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, you know, we do this story every summer because we are so fortunate to have the Appalachian Trail so much a part of our area. It's a whole culture unto itself, and I believe that Sadie Light, who's our intern this summer, has really captured the magic of it. And there really is something to it. Just look at the front page photo, and you'll see the joy that these folks feel of being through hikers. It's amazing to me because, as I mentioned, I did, you know, a pretty short walk in Falls Village yesterday and felt like, oh, you know, I'm hiking. But, to be a through hiker, you really have to have a certain character and determination. And so Sadie spoke to these folks, and their trail names are Wizard, Bear with an exclamation point, Taco, Paddle, and Bugs. And, you know, they just look like regular people who happen to be pretty athletic. So, give it a read. Every year it's amazing. Last year they tried to have the Appalachian Trail toned down, closed, and it was busier than ever because people wanted to get outdoors. Well, this year they can do it. And are doing it in droves. It's just incredible. Anyone who decides to do a through hike, they have my greatest respect.
All right. Now, an interesting story, and with everything going on in the tri-state region in the country with relation to COVID, schools here at Region 1 and in Connecticut will open in person. Same thing across the line in New York State, in person. And there right now is no plan at all for remote learning. You know, they'll follow whatever guidelines the CDC and the states have up at the time.
That's right. This is from Region 1 Superintendent Lisa Carter, who put out this announcement on Thursday, August 12th. And, you know, she was doing it without the guidance of the state. Since then, Governor Lamont has put out a mask mandate for the state schools, but nothing more. And so, you know, these school systems have to go by their instincts and their knowledge of how it went last year. You know, they did do remote learning last year at different times and surely know what they will have to get into if that does come up. But they're taking this approach of having the kids come back to school and use masks. And, you know, it's something to look forward to for parents, for students, and for the teachers, the faculty, and the administrators to try to have something more like a full school year and have everyone interacting in a face-to-face way.
I think that the students definitely will get more out of it by seeing their friends on a daily basis. And the great thing about the area we live in, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, are all following the same rules, which means not just students, but it's anybody that goes in that school, whether you work there, whether you're going to visit, you have to wear a mask when you're in that building. And yes, there are going to be some people upset with that, but I think as a whole, when you look at it, not only in Connecticut, but also in New York, in Massachusetts, it's the right thing to do. It gets the children back in school, and you know what? I think they'll be happier with that. I really do.
Yeah, I agree, and it's interesting. I was talking to a local EMT who's also a mom this week who said she likes the masks because not only did her child not contract COVID, but they didn't get the flu, they didn't get colds, they didn't get strep. You know, there are so many things that go through the schools in a regular year, and that just doesn't happen if the kids are wearing masks and, you know, sanitizing and washing hands a lot. So, yeah, there are definite benefits to doing it this way, and it is good. We have a story in the Millerton News as well on the guidelines over there that they are taking the same approach of sending the kids back into the schools. And, you know, it's from the parents' point of view, you know, we have plenty of parents who work on both sides of the state lines. They'll be able to make plans and try to, you know, look at a normal work life as well as school life.
And by the way, all these school districts say that if guidance changes from the CDC, they'll change it. They'll change the guidance.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
I think all the schools did a great job in handling it last year, and I think they're starting off on the right foot this year by doing what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Well, talking about health, we might as well, I find this hard to believe, but the Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service is going to celebrate their 50th anniversary this weekend on the 21st. 1971 is when they were formed. I always thought they were a little before that because I graduated in 71, but I do remember the first ambulance service that was put into a volunteer ambulance service in Northwest Connecticut was Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Murtaugh. I remember seeing a picture of Jack Murtaugh. Basically, it was like a delivery truck with just the back had room for one patient.
That's right. We've had a picture of that with Jack in the paper.
Yeah.
It is incredible. But, you know, it's incredible, I think, to any of us to think about the fact there was a time when there was no ambulance service, and you were on your own if you had an emergency, or, you know, you tried to get your neighbors to help. And it's really not, you know, it's 50 years ago, but it's certainly within our lifetimes. And, yeah, I would have thought it was earlier, too, but you're right. Nope. It's since 1971. Amazing that we have Assistant Chief Mike Brenner in Salisbury at the ambulance, and he's been a volunteer since 1977. So, boy.
I had a nice talk with Jackie Rice and Mike, and the answer center for the Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Squad used to be part of the job description at the White Hart.
At the White Hart, that's right. Right. Yeah, Susan Breland answered the phones there, too. And it was such a, well, of course, it was a completely local effort and grassroots, everybody helping each other as neighbors, and that's still so much a part of every ambulance service in this region as well as the fire service.
And it's interesting because Mike Brenner pointed out that, you know, if you don't have the local volunteer ambulance squads and private ambulances come into our area, you have to look at this way. Sharon, Salisbury, North Canaan, they all have more than one ambulance. They all have multiple vehicles. They all have, so there's a certain latitude that you're given by having all our volunteer ambulance squads be enacted, and this is something that our regions are going to have to look at in the future because they're just such a vital portion of what we do. Just imagine if we didn't have these volunteers fighting fires locally and being ambulance squad members locally.
Right, it would completely change the fabric of life around here. And so, yeah, do join the ambulance service on Saturday, August 21st, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Trotta Field on Salmon Kill Road. And we, talk to them and do read the article by Sadie. She learned a lot about the volunteers as well, so we're always glad about that.
Right below that story, farm markets. This really is the peak season for farm markets.
It is, and that photo that Lance Christensen took in Kent really brings it to light. When you see that many beautiful tomatoes, you know this is it. Get them while you can. And if anybody was thinking, well, maybe I'll get a little more out of my garden, or let's see what's at the farm market, now is absolutely the time to do it. So we have a great description of what's at all the farm markets right now by Lila Hawken and Lance Christensen, and there are plenty of them around here on different days. So definitely now is the time. Winter's coming. Now is the time to really enjoy these outdoor markets and get some great food and, you know, have it not only for now, but freeze it, can it, whatever you can do to have it for the winter.
Well, I had somebody pick me up some yellow squash at a farmer's market. and I immediately peeled it and sliced it thin, and then just dipped it in some dough, and then just put it in my air fryer. Oh my god! And the tomatoes, they taste like real tomatoes. We are so lucky to have so many of these different farm markets in our area.
Right, now's the time to have a tomato sandwich. Don't delay.
That's exactly right, because it's a very short window.
It really is, and you know, we dream about it in winter when you know we try to get some of those supermarket tomatoes. But boy, this is it, and yeah, the more we can do to have them now and save them for later, the happier we'll be come winter.
And you got a nice story, the Lions Club in North Canaan honoring the community volunteers, including the North Canaan Elementary School principal. That happened on August 12th.
That's right. Helen Mahoney was kind enough to write about this for us. She is the secretary of the Lions Club there, and the two people who received the Rose Amanda Freeman Award for their service were Elizabeth Kowalski and Gladys Wilcox, and so they talked about the service these folks have done, and it's great to see this kind of recognition in our communities, and we're always happy to hear about it.
And the longest-running investigation, the bank robbery that happened in Sharon and the one that happened in Cornwall, now two suspects have been apprehended, but the state police are still investigating this, as obviously they think there's some more people involved in this.
That's right. So it's the Western District Major Crime Unit who's working on this, and you know, we certainly hope that they'll get to the bottom of it and be able to wrap up the case soon. Of course, I wouldn't say it's the longest running case, but it's stretching out longer than one would hope. Still, they want to get it right, of course, and we'll keep on top of it. It's you know, not the kind of story we expect in this area, but this is happening, and we need to be aware of what's going on.
It is one of those things that's out there. Well, we've been talking here. Our community calendar has filled up once again, which is so great. And one of the things was great to see this past weekend, and you have a nice story on this, the annual Sharon Sprint Triathlon, a large crowd, fewer restrictions, and I think it was over 100 people this year.
Yeah, isn't that great? That because really, these folks had to be in training all this year in order to be able to do this, in my humble opinion. You know, you can't just jump out there and run a marathon, so... Yeah, it's a triathlon, too. So, they had a great turnout. They had people who could come and watch it, which, you know, that's new since last year. They had many more restrictions last year. So this year the race attracted the 102 contestants, largest ever for the Sharon Sprint Triathlon. And, you know, they had people cheering them on, and it was fantastic. So we have all the results here and talk about the first place finishers and the women, men, and the teams, and congratulations to them for doing it. It's always so impressive to see what these guys can do.
It's funny, I see the women winner was Eileen Bernhardt, and all that crossed my mind was my grandmother. Whenever my sister used to do something stupid or crazy, she'd say, "Who do you think you are, Sarah Bernhardt?" I have heard
that's right.
That's not a name that you hear very often, but anyways.
It's not. I wonder how many of our listeners remember Sarah Bernhardt. So Google it, okay, if you don't remember, but that was an app.
They don't even know what Sarah Bernhardt is, all right. Nice story. The DM Hunt Library continued on this year. They didn't have what they normally do, but they had the whole town celebrate August Fest,
exactly. And so they usually have the annual fall auction. This year they did a live and silent auction, food, beer, and lemonade. You know, the weather was great, and the whole town could come out. And so we have a photo there of Carl Munson and Lou Timmelot cooking bratwurst. What better activity to celebrate summer?
All right, and at a Falls Village, they finally got their opinion there on whether the town is financially on the hook for grant and loans for the affordable housing.
For the affordable housing development. And so, really, the finance board, according to Patrick Sullivan, our reporter, didn't find the opinion particularly helpful. And so they are looking for more information, and they want the attorney to go back and look at it again and come back to them with to clear up some confusion. So that is still an ongoing discussion, and we have a discussion of food smells. there's always some consequence you don't think of anyway when there's a new place in town. But the Falls Village Cafe is in the middle of Falls Village, open, doing quite well, I think, as far as people going in and getting some great food and drink there. And Michael Clemens, who has an office next door, is concerned that he can smell the cafe's operations from his office. So
he should just be glad that, unlike in California several years ago when they built a giant sriracha plant, people in a community of 2,000 people had to complain because they had tears coming out of their eyes and everything because of the smells from making so much sriracha
sauce. Of course, right, of course. And, yeah, that happens with, yeah, Tabasco sauce, wherever, you know. I mean, these things have to be made somewhere. You know,
that's exactly right. A tradition is going to continue for this summer, on that which is going to be back this year, and that is the Salisbury Band at the Scoville Library, which is going to happen on August 21st.
Yeah, which is great. You know, as we say, summer isn't summer without the Salisbury Band performing, and they get around in the wintertime, too, but take this opportunity to hear them. It's great that they're still doing this, and it's a party that celebrates the summer reading program at the library.
All right, and before we get on to a compass, we'll go to the opinion and editorial page, because, once again, a lot of letters that have come in. But first, your editorial thanking the Salisbury Voluntary Ambulance Squad for 50 years of dedicated service.
Yeah, this is just an extraordinary thing, that there are so many volunteers in Salisbury. This is true in all our towns, but at the 50th anniversary, we really like to recognize them for all they do for their community, and so we talk a little bit about their history and the new challenges that they have now, because while some of the work they do is the same as it was 50 years ago, some of it isn't, and with COVID and with the opioid and other drug abuse crisis that has been going on the past number of years, they really have bigger challenges and need more training to deal with emergency situations, because often they don't know what they're walking into. So, you know, they can have a description, but you don't know till you get into it what you have to deal with. And they are volunteers, but they're very professional. And any of us who have used them, and I think every family is affected at some time or another, just loves to see their familiar faces and their attitudes of professionalism and efficiency and caring. So thank you to them, and here's to another 50 years, let's hope.
And what's great about this, having it this weekend, is the people that have moved into the area, purchased new houses in Salisbury, have a chance to actually go meet members of the squad and maybe make a donation or to help them out and understand how important where they live out here and why they moved back out here, that the ambulance service is just an amazing service that's not available in every other place in the country.
It's not, and, you know, it came up, as I had mentioned, from grassroots level, and so these new folks, yeah, can get an idea of how we happen to have this ambulance service that's quite well-equipped and gets such support from the community when they do need money coming in. And so, yeah, that should continue, and we hope that our new residents understand that and appreciate it as well.
And and your letters to the editor, you've got the Salisbury Wetland Registry changes and stuff. There's two different letters on that and a couple of thank you letters as well.
That's right. You know, we had a letter last week that both the writers, Mary Silks and Michael Clemens, are responding to this week. Mr. Cadleck, as Michael Clemens refers to him, and so they look at the points he was making about the regulations for the wetlands, and they read both these letters, read the letter last week, and it'll really help you understand what the issues are and why it's hard to come to an easy agreement, but you'll see what all the points made. And by all means, opinions, we love to have them and chime in on this page.
And your viewpoint page has the disappearing newspaper editorial, also the retired investor, and Peter Steiner.
That's right. Dick Ollis, who writes for us every other week now, he's written for us for more than 20 years, and we're just so grateful to have him on our pages. But this week, he wrote an extra column because he felt so strongly about this, the disappearing newspaper editorial. And so he's keeping an eye on the Hartford Courant, the New York Times, the large papers, and how they are just not funding having opinion pages in their papers, and that's not where the money comes from, and that's not where the money goes. But he writes about it knowledgeably, and do give this a read and think about it and take a look at your local papers. We at the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News do still do this and value having opinions from all sides on our pages.
And out of Compass, a nice story on the Joint Chiefs. They're going to be at a performance in Falls Village on the 20th.
That's right. I mean, so many people are followers of this longtime band. Really, really great fun. And Elliot Osborne, Louise Lindemeyer, George Potts, Diana Harrell, just a great show. And so much a part of the community, always fun. So do take in that concert.
And Cynthia has a story on Billy Collins, a poet laureate, coming to Winston and the American Mural Project.
That's right. That's for the Art of Work Gala that the American Mural Project will have in Winston on September 18th. And that's a big deal to have the U.S. former poet laureate Billy Collins come in and help them celebrate their American Mural Project. So, yeah, fascinating. There will also be tours of the building in Winstead, which is getting closer and closer to completion. So this is going to be a great event.
All right. Those stories and more available in the Lakeville Journal and also Millerton News, available online at tricornernews.com and also newsstands and, of course, delivered to your home via the mail. Janet, we'll speak to you next week.
Yes. Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. Janet Manko from the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com.